Anyways, we're going to start a new series, and for those of you that are new here, you may not understand what I'm about to say. For those of you that are old here, you know exactly what I'm about to say. The next 2 weeks are going to be weird. Just FYI, the next 2 weeks are going to be weird. This is our last normal service of the month. So next Sunday, we've got Gateway Christmas, which is a lot of fun, but it's a lot of variety. We've got all kinds of different things happening on stage, on and off, and so that's going to be an interesting time for me to be able to preach. As a matter of fact, we're going to have the nurseries open for the little guys, but the older kids get to come in. They get to sing songs with us and have fun, so that'll be cool. And then the week after that, we've got a service called Candles and Carols. Again, some of the older kids will be in here with us, and we've got candles that people are going to be holding as we sing some Christmas carols, and I'm gonna preach and fit the word in there somewhere. And so just be aware that there's going to be live fire in the building. So please make sure your kids understand that. The last time when I was younger, I went to a candles and carols type service, and I was standing there with my candle, and the guy next to me was standing there with his candle, and he had really, really hairy arms. You know this guy. He probably sits next to you. And so as I was standing there with the candle and I saw those hairy arms, I thought, I wonder what would happen. You know, and so I just leaned over with my candle and just touched his arm with it. When I did, that hair just went woo. It was so cool. Don't do that. Don't do that in 2 weeks. Okay, we're not going to do that in 2 weeks. And then the last Sunday of the month, we've got something totally, absolutely different. So every year we try to end the year with communion. And so the last Sunday of the month from 10 to 11, we're going to be having communion here. But that's all we're having. It's just come and go communion. You can bring your family. You can do communion. Perry and I will be here serving communion for you and your family. But it's no service. As a matter of fact, we will be presenting a message online. We'll put a message out online and also be doing communion there. So before you leave, the Sunday before that, I think the 20th, we're going to be making sure everybody's got some communion if you want it to take home with you. You can do that. And you can do it online or come in person with me and Perry and have a good time with us. All right? So there's the month. So this new series we're doing is called God With Us, and it comes from the verse in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, which is a quote out of Isaiah. And so the Bible says this: "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." So this message series is called God Is With Us, and today's message is kind of the prep or the intro for it, because I want to talk about what happens when God shows up. What happens when God shows up in our lives? I think the key and the big picture idea here is that we should desire for God to be with us. We should desire for Him to show up in our lives. And so today I want to talk about how that works and what that looks like as I kind of introduce this message series. And then the next couple of weeks we'll be talking about some of the things that happen when God shows up. Because I believe when God comes, He gives us peace. And I believe when God comes, He gives us joy. And these are things that we are desperate for in the world that we live in today. But today I want to talk about what does it look like. So right off the bat, we're going to use the word presence a lot. So just be aware of that. And when I say the word presence, I just literally mean when God's presence is here, when He is here. And sometimes we have the question of, isn't God here anyway? Right? Like weren't we taught that God is everywhere? The word omnipresent means God is everywhere at the same time. Sure, we've been taught that, but actually the Bible talks about two different kinds of presence. It talks about omnipresence, God is everywhere, but it also talks about when He manifests His presence, or in other words, whenever He shows up in an impactful way. And so what are the differences in the two types of presence? Well, basically the differences come down to the word awareness. See, I believe in omnipresence. I believe God is everywhere, but the fact is we don't always recognize and we're not always aware that He's there. Does that make sense? Like whenever you're at school taking a test, you're not really thinking about the fact that God is there with you. Now, if you're like me, when I was in school, you're praying because you didn't study and you're saying, oh God, please, please. I know I didn't study, but if you would just make me know this stuff, right? He never did answer that prayer. I don't know why. But we're not aware. Whenever we're at the gym and we're working out, we're not thinking about the fact that God is there. When we're at work and we're on the computer, we're not thinking about the fact that God is there. When we're hunting and we're looking for those deer, we're not thinking about the fact that God is there. Again, praying though. Praying, God, please, please, send the big buck today. The big one with the 10 points and the big, you know. Well, that's what we're praying, and He still hasn't answered that prayer. I'm still praying that one a lot. So we're not always aware of his presence, but there are moments in our life when we become acutely aware of the presence of God in the space that we're in. When God invades our time frame, when he shows up in a place that we are not ready for him to show up in sometimes, and we become aware of his presence. The difference in the two words is kind of like this. If I were to go to a dinner, let's say, at a banquet hall, and Michael Jordan, the basketball player, were to show up at that banquet hall, right? And I go home later and I tell someone I had dinner with Michael Jordan. It's true, I did have dinner with Michael Jordan. He was in the room, right? He was in the banquet hall at the same time as I was. But the idea is that manifest presence, that would be omnipresence. Manifest presence would be if Michael Jordan and I sat at the same table. And then not only did we sit at the same table, but after dinner, we decided to go out and get dessert because we got to go get ice cream. And so we went and got dessert and we got ice cream and we sat down and we had ice cream and we talked about stuff. And I had an experience with Michael Jordan. See, there's a difference. In one case, I was in the same room as Michael Jordan. In the other place, I had an experience with him that impacted my life. You can be in the same room with God and not have an experience with God. And so this series is about the idea that God is going to show up in our lives. As a matter of fact, I believe today, and my first thought is this, that God has a desire and a plan to be with you. I want everybody just real quickly, humor me and say this after me. Repeat these words. Say, God wants to be with me. Now, for some of you right off the bat, you don't want to say that because you've got so much spiritual insecurity that you don't believe that God really wants to be with you. But this is something you need to get down in your heart. I don't care if this is your first day in church. I don't care if you just gave your heart to Jesus Christ. I don't care if you've been in church your whole life. Let me tell you something. God has a desire to be with you. And not only does he have a desire to be with you, he's got a plan to be with you. From the very beginning, God wants to be with you. And in the very end, God wants to be with you. Just real quickly, I'm going to just walk through some stuff. In the book of Genesis, the Bible says that he walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. So God was there with Adam and Eve. He has this desire to be with the created beings, the people he created. He didn't make us and throw us on the earth and say, well, there you go. Y'all have fun. He created Adam and Eve and then said, now I want to be a part of your life. I want to show up where you work and where you live and where you interact. I want to be a part of this thing. God didn't say it's just Adam and Eve. He said it's Adam and Eve and me. We're all going to hang out together, right? In the book of Exodus, the Bible says that God showed up on the mountain and he wanted the people of Israel to come up on the mountain, but the Israelites didn't want to go on the mountain because they were scared of him. So they said, Moses, you go up on the mountain. The people of Israel were content to have the omnipresence of God, but they didn't want the manifest presence of God. They didn't want God to show up in their lives. They said, Moses, you let him show up in your life and you tell us about it. But God had a desire to be with them. In the book of Chronicles, the Bible says that Solomon builds a great temple for God. And once he builds a temple for God, the Bible says that his presence showed up in the temple so much so that the priests that were trying to do the service all fell out on the ground and could not do what they were supposed to do. Why? Because God wants to be with us. And here's the cool thing. The word Emmanuel means God with us. It doesn't mean God with us when everything's going good. It doesn't mean God with us when we got our act together. It doesn't mean God with us when everything's perfect. It just means God's with us. So in other words, God still wants to be with you even when things aren't perfect, even when things aren't going well. In the book of Isaiah, this is Isaiah 43:2. This is my favorite verse in the Bible. It says this, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. I love the fact that he says, I will be with you. He doesn't say you're not going to go through water and fire. He just says, when you go through it, I'm going to be there with you the whole time. I've got a desire to be with you even in the fire. As a matter of fact, in the Gospels, the Bible says that God's desire and his plan to be with us was so strong that he sent Jesus in bodily form. That's what we celebrate on Christmas. We celebrate the fact that Jesus showed up, right? It's not just the idea that a baby was born. Babies are born every day. There's nothing special about that necessarily. But the idea is that it was God showing up in human form. It was God showing up willing to get his hands dirty. It was God showing up willing to sweat and interact and understand what our life is like. It was God saying, I know what it's like to be made fun of. I know what it's like to be looked down upon. I know what it's like to have issues in my family. God showed up to be just like us, to be a part of us, to be one of us.
Siri showed up this morning. So it's not just God.
Siri's preaching with me. Come on, I like it. I'll take it. Not only did God show up, but then when Jesus left, the Bible says that he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send someone, what? To be with you. I will send you the Holy Spirit. And here's the cool thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit won't just be around you. The Holy Spirit will be in you, living through you. Why? Because God has a desire and a plan to be with you. He loves you. He wants to be a part of your life. He doesn't want to just be around you. He wants to be in there with you. As a matter of fact, even in the end, the Bible says in Revelation 21:3, John is having this vision of what heaven's going to be like. He's having this vision of what the end times are going to be like. And he looks up and he says, and I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home, listen to this, this is so cool to me. God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, the story of the Bible is the story of God wanting to be with you. Not separate from you. He don't want to be in heaven and you be on earth. He wants to be here with you. He wants you with him. Why is hell such a bad place? Hell's not about fire and brimstone and sulfur and devils with pitchforks. That's not what hell is all about. Hell is bad because it's separation from God. And you weren't designed to be separate from him. You were designed to be with him. And God has a desire to be with you. He's got a desire to be with you. Everybody say this. Say, God wants to be with me. Look at your neighbor. Say, and maybe you too. No, he wants to be with all of us. He wants to be with all of us. Just real quick, I want to give you a couple of things. Now, the next couple of weeks, we're going to focus on two of the things that I feel like happens when God shows up. But just for a minute, before we get into some more practical thoughts, I want to tell you a couple of things that happen biblically when God shows up, okay? So the Bible says this in Acts chapter 3, verse 20, that times of refreshing happens when God shows up. Look, it says, then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. In other words, revival, refreshment, whenever you feel down and out, when you feel worn out, when you've got nothing left, the Bible says when his presence shows up in your life, that you will be refreshed. You'll be renewed. Yesterday, we were at this competition, and Bobby, all these guys were there. Lee and Sophia and Josh and Bobby, and we're all out there competing, and some of these guys competing way, way better than others. I was watching Lee compete, and so we've got this bike that you have to pedal and punch, right? It's like handles and feet. It's horrible. It's the worst death trap. I said hell was separation from God, but it's also separation and the echo bike or the assault bike. It's both. It's right there. Those are the things that you have to do in hell in the dark, away from God, with no hope of ever getting off. Poor Lee was going so hard, he hit himself in the head. I mean, he was just like, he was on that thing. And it was terrible, and at the same time, kind of funny. But Lee gets off the bike, and when he gets off the bike, his legs are totally blown up, and he's like hanging onto a wall and falling on the ground, and he's just breathing heavy. And listen, our life is like that sometimes. Sometimes life has us in this place where we're just punching and going and kicking and we're doing everything we can do to just survive and we can't breathe and we can't get our head above water and our family is crazy and our job is going nuts and the country's losing its mind and we just feel this stress and we're dying and then we just fall out. The great thing about watching a guy like Lee that's a really good athlete is not whenever he absolutely gives everything he's got and falls on the ground. The great thing about watching a guy like Lee is whenever he can get back up and do it again. Whenever God's presence shows up in your life, he recognizes the fact that you're tired. He recognizes the fact that you've given everything you've got He was here. He did it too. But he shows up in your life and says, now let me give you some refreshment. Let me build you back up. Let me restore you. Let me revive you. Let me pick you back up off the mat so you can go and continue to do what you've been called to do. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, that's His presence, whenever He shows up, there is freedom. There is freedom. Another thing that happens in the presence of God is freedom. Some of us come in to the presence of God, and we're so bound up. We may be bound up in addiction. We may be bound up in sin. We may be bound up in tradition. We may be bound up in habits. We may be bound up in relationship. We may be bound up in whatever. But the Bible says that in His presence, we can find freedom. Another one is Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. The Bible says, you make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy. Where? In your presence. We get joy from His presence. We're going to talk about this one in a couple of weeks. But here's the cool thing about joy. Joy and happiness are not the same thing. People mistake those all the time. Happiness is determined by the circumstances around me, right? So Christmas time, you open up the present that you really wanted. What are you? You are very happy. You open up the present you didn't want at all, and are you still happy? No, not exactly, right? You smile, and you say thank you, but on the inside, you're like, I'm taking this joker back to TJ Maxx. Like, this is not staying in my house, right? Or whatever the case is. Happiness is determined by what's around us. Joy is something that comes from a deep place inside of us that only God gives us, right? And the Bible says that joy comes from His presence. In other words, I can have the worst circumstances around me, step into the presence of God, and still have joy. The Bible says that Jesus had joy when He was heading to the cross. How is that possible? People are spitting on Him, and they're throwing stuff at Him, and they're pulling His beard hair out, and they're putting a crown of thorns on His hands, and they're nailing a nail through His hands and His feet. They're whipping Him. They're beating Him. They're killing Him. But He's got joy? That doesn't make any sense. Was He happy? No, I don't think He was happy. Was He full of joy? Absolutely. Why? Because He was in the presence of God, doing exactly what He was supposed to be doing. Another thing that happens to us in God's presence is found in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14. And the Bible says, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. I love that one. So many times, some of us just need rest. Some of you need rest in your body. Some of you need rest in your mind. Some of you need rest in your soul. Your emotions need rest. How do I find that? I find that in His presence. I can just get in His presence. If I can just get in His presence. One time, whenever I was a kid, I was in high school. And so when I was in high school, I was playing basketball. Not very good. I was on the team. Let's just say that. I was on the team, right? I wasn't really playing. I was just there. And so we would go to school all day, get done with school, go to basketball practice, get done with basketball practice. And then we would go, I would take a shower, and I had to come to church that night. And so I'm just tired, man. I'm worn out. I've been up late. I go to church. As soon as I get to church, I come down, and we're doing worship, and the band's playing, and people are worshiping God, and you could really sense the presence of God, and it was wonderful, and it was great. And so so that night I decided, I just felt like, hey, in this moment, in this atmosphere, I'm going to do what the Bible talks about. The Bible says there's a form of worship where you get down on your face before God. And I said, I'm getting down on my face before God. I'm going to worship God with everything I got. And I got down on my face before God. And then I started to get up because the song was over and I was getting up. And I got up and I looked around. There was nobody there. And I was like, what in the world? I'm having a vision. I slept through the entire service. I fell asleep in worship right on the front, right in front of everybody on the carpet, and nobody woke me up. And my dad was preaching, I suppose, and he got up, he preached his whole message, gave the altar call, people prayed, they did all this stuff, they dismissed, everybody went home, and I was laying on the floor, mortified. I got up and I asked my mom, I said, what in the heck were you thinking? Why did you leave me on the floor in front of everybody? She was like, but you're so tired, you just needed to rest. I'm like, in front of the whole church. And you know how it is when you're like 16, 17 years old, like, I was embarrassed. Anyways, in His presence, He'll give you rest. Just don't do it like in the service, because I'll leave you here. I'll leave you here. I'm scarred. The other thing that happens in his presence, and we're gonna have to keep moving here. In his presence, we find redemption. This is a big one. This is a huge one. As a matter of fact, this is one that we all need today. And there may be some of you today, whenever Cowboy got up and he was talking about, you know, someone needing to give their heart to Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something today? In his presence is where your life can be turned around. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he was saying, hey, you're one of the coaches at the gym. I want to start coming to your gym, possibly. And I said, okay, great. He said, do I need to get some kind of personal training before I come to the gym? I said, no, that's what the gym is for. It's to get in shape. He's like, yeah, but I need to be in shape before I come to. And I said, no, you've gotten it backwards. We do the same thing spiritually. We say, well, I've got to get my life completely right before I can go into God's presence. I got to get everything perfect before I can go into God's presence. Yes, I understand that sin can block God's presence. The Bible does say that God is a holy God and he doesn't accept sin. But the idea that you've got to get yourself perfect before you can enter in is wrong. As a matter of fact, it's in his presence that he will clean you up. The Bible says this: Jesus gets baptized, comes up out of the river from being baptized, and then he goes straight into the wilderness where he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, and he's tempted by the devil. And the Bible says he comes out of the wilderness full of the power of God. He goes to church, picks up the scroll, which is like their version of the Bible, right? He opens it up to Isaiah, and he begins to quote a verse about himself. It's Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And here's what Jesus says: the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's talking about the presence of God is on him. He's walking every day in the presence of God. He is on me. Why? Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What happens in God's presence? We get redeemed. When we enter into his presence, our life gets changed. When we step into his presence, he absolutely sets us free, opens our eyes to the truth, proclaims the year of the Lord's favor. I wasn't really going to preach on that part, but the year of the Lord's favor in the Old Testament, they had a year every 7 years. They called it the year of Jubilee. And every 7 years, they would have to let all the slaves go free. They would have to let all the servants go free. They would have to give back all the property that they had that was being borrowed or whatever. In the year of the Lord's favor was a big deal. It was all about freedom. It was all about new life. Whenever you step into God's presence, or you allow his presence into your life, it's a place where he absolutely can redeem you and change you and set you free. Sometimes we just look at that as just sin, but let me tell you something. Sometimes those of us that have been in church the longest have our eyes blinded the most. Our eyes are blinded to the truth sometimes. Blinded to the truth. When I said that today earlier about God wants to be with you, and some of you kind of balked at that a little bit, I bet the ones that balked at that were not the non-saved people. I bet it was the people that had been Christians the longest. Because we don't always believe that God really loves us that much, but he does. Our eyes need to be open to the truth. For some of us, we need to be set free. So how do we get this presence? This is where we got to get to the practical side a little bit. How do we get the presence? How do we experience Emmanuel, God with us? Like, it's good to know what happens there. How do we get into that? Like, how does that work? Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to learn how to pursue his presence. You got to ask about it. You got to want it. Jesus said this. He said, you got to ask, seek, and knock. If you ask, seek, and knock, the door will be open to you. He wants us to pursue. Jesus has this idea. God has this idea that I want to be with you, but I want you to be with me too. Right? I think that's an old Marvin Gaye song, right? It says that I want you to want me too. And there's this relationship that God wants to have with us where he wants us, he desires us, but then he wants us to pursue him as well. And so it's this back and forth pursuit that he loves. And so he wants us to pursue him. So Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14, the Bible says this: in those days when you pray, I will listen.
If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you. Psalm 95:2 says, when we come into his presence with thanksgiving, let us make a joyful noise with him, to him with songs of praise.
Here's what he's saying. He said, how do I get into his presence? I get into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. Jeremiah said, if you look for me, you'll find me. Jesus said, if you ask, seek, and pray, you will find the answer. This is important here. We don't get into God's presence just by happenstance. We get it because we pursue it. You go after it. How do I go after it? I go after it through worship. I go after it through prayer. I go after it in different ways, but I've got to learn how to go after the presence of God. I know for me in my life, one of the things we do here at this church, we teach this a lot. We teach the ideas that when we say the spiritual disciplines of prayer and fasting, worshiping God, reading your Bible, the reason we teach those disciplines is not because you need something else to do. It's not because you need something to check off your list, right? At the end of the day, we don't need lists. We don't need things to check off. We teach those things because we understand at our church that if you can build those things into your life, that these are keys to stepping into the presence of God. These are keys to opening up the door to allow him into our life. Why is fasting important? Fasting is important because fasting teaches me to put aside things that I think are important but really aren't, so that I can allow things that are truly important, which is God. Prayer is important because that's my way of communicating with him. Worship is important because it puts me in a place of humility and submission in front of him. Reading my Bible is important because that's one of his ways to communicate back to me. These are all ways that we pursue God. It's not, we don't read our Bible to be a better Christian. We read our Bible to find Jesus. We don't pray to be a better Christian. We pray so that he shows up in our life. That's what we do that. We teach you those disciplines, but there's a purpose behind that. The second thing we've got to do is learn how to recognize his presence. This may be the most difficult, right? Learn how to recognize his presence. I came across this verse. I thought it was funny. Genesis chapter 28, verse 6. Jacob is in the Bible. He's walking around. He falls asleep, put his head on a rock. The Bible says, use the rock as a pillow. I've never understood that verse. There are some verses I don't understand. Some of them are theological reasons. This one is a practical reason. Why in the world would you put your head on a rock? It doesn't make any sense to me. The guy's got sheep, right? You just put a sheep on the ground, lay your head on that. It's nice and fluffy. Don't use a rock. Anyways, it has nothing to do with the message. I just think it's weird. The Bible says he goes to sleep, has this vision. All of a sudden, the Bible says that his eyes are open, even in his sleep, that God shows him something in that particular place. He sees a ladder going up from heaven to earth and from earth to heaven, and he sees angels ascending and descending on this ladder all the time, and he recognizes the fact that he has stepped into the presence of God, and he didn't know it before. And so he wakes up, and this is what I like. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. How often does that happen to us, that we're in God's presence and we don't even know it? We're around God and we don't even recognize it. We've got to learn how to recognize the presence of God. Have you ever been asleep at night in the summertime, let's say, and for whatever reason your air stops working, and immediately you start sweating in your bed, right? Or maybe you're in your sleep and the heat cuts off, and all of a sudden you start getting cold. I know there's been times here at church whenever the heat didn't work or the air didn't work, and all of a sudden you see people, everybody's sitting nice and chill and calm, and all of a sudden I see fans coming out, you know, and people are doing this, you know, and they're trying to keep their makeup from running or whatever. I'm like, dude, don't wear makeup, you know, you're like a girl. And so we're trying to do this all the time. What's happening? Our bodies are recognizing a change in the temperature that we cannot see. You did not know the temperature had changed. You did not know that the AC went out. You didn't know that someone pressed a button. You didn't know what was happening. You didn't see what was happening. But instinctively, your body recognized it and began to deal with it. I want you to know something. I believe the same is true with God. I believe whenever you step into his presence, there is a way for you to recognize his presence. Now, some of y'all, maybe you haven't been in church too long. You may be looking at me like a dog in a new pan, right? Like you're like, this guy's crazy. I promise you I'm not crazy. Well, I mean, I can't promise you that, but when it comes to this, I think I'm telling the truth. The fact is, we can recognize his presence in our spirit. We can recognize his presence in our life. for me, sometimes it hits me in my emotions. I'm not an overly emotional person. I'm fairly practical for the most part. But where God gets me, I don't cry. And I don't say that in a bragging way. If you cry, that's great. I mean, cry all you want. I don't cry. I don't like it when other people cry. I struggle. I work with Jonathan and Beverly, and Beverly cries about everything. And Jonathan's really good, man. He knows how to deal with stuff. He would probably be a great counselor. I would not. So Beverly's telling us a story, and she's just talking about how good God is and how God saved her from her jacked up lifestyle, and she was on, you know, drugs and alcohol or whatever her life was. And every time she tells a story, she starts crying about the goodness of God. And I start going, I need to go to the restroom or something. Like, I can't handle it. And Jonathan just over there, oh yeah, this is good. I don't cry. I don't like it when other people cry. I struggle with crying. But you know what happens whenever I get in the presence of God? There are times when I'm worshiping God on a Sunday morning. There's times whenever I may be in my house and I've got some worship music on and I'm reading my Bible. There may be times when I'm trying to pray and all of a sudden I feel like I step into the presence of God. How do I recognize that? How do I know it? All of a sudden my emotions start welling up and tears begin to fill my eyes. And I know that's not me. Like, I know that's not what I do. I know it's outside of my norm. So for me, I recognize it in my emotions. I recognize it in my soul, in my spirit. I recognize the presence of God. It may hit you in a different way. For me, I feel God's presence the most in worship. I feel God's presence the most in His Word. When I'm reading His Word, I tell people all the time, I don't know how to explain it, but I tell people all the time, there's times when you're reading the Bible and it's like a verse just jumps off the page at you. If you haven't had that experience, man, I want you to have it, because for me it's huge. But there's times when I'm reading the Bible and it's like something just jumps off the page and I can just feel God's presence and I feel it on the inside. I recognize it. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13, Elijah's having a bad day. I mean, he has like this big victory, but at the same time, the evil queen wants to kill him. He's being hunted down like a dog. He knows God's with him, but he doesn't feel like God's with him, right? Like, you've got those, he knows the omnipresence of God is there, but he doesn't feel the manifest presence of God, and we've all been there. He's depressed, he's discouraged, he wants to die. The Bible says that he begins to ask God, just kill me, let's get this over with. And God says, you know, you're not done yet, and I've got some plans for you. Let's go up to this mountain. I want you to get in this cave, and I want you to just wait for me to show up. And so he's waiting, and the Bible says, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What happened? Sometimes we think it's got to be all this big pomp and circumstance. We think we got to have all the right music and we got to have all the right sound and we need the lights and we need the cameras and we need the stuff and we need the people. But you know what? God's not in all of that stuff. It's great to have it, but at the end of the day, His presence is something that's like a still small voice that you don't experience out here. You experience it right here. And it was in that moment Elijah realized it's not about all the flash and the bang. About your spirit, your presence speaking to my heart. The third thing we've got to do is learn how to receive His presence. We can't relegate Him to Sundays and sanctuaries. We've got to pursue His presence. God, I really want Your presence in my life. I really want You to show up in a real way in my life like never before. We've got to recognize it, so whenever I'm out and I'm about and I recognize, wow, I feel the presence of God right now. I feel His Spirit speaking to me right now. We've got to recognize it, but then we've got to do something with it. We've got to receive it, which means we accept it for what it is in the moment. Yeah, but What if it happens at Walmart? Like, what if I feel God's presence and I'm at work? What if I feel God's presence and I'm at home and I'm not at church? And what if it's on a Monday, right? What if it's on a Friday night? Like, what am I doing with that? You can't relegate God's presence to Sundays and sanctuaries. It's not about Sundays and sanctuaries. This is a great place to learn how to experience His presence, but you know what? You got to be able to go out there and experience it too. That's why it's important to say, I'm going to make room for the presence of God in my life. I know I talk about the gym a lot, and I'm sorry, I need to come up with new things. And I don't talk about it a lot because there's gym people here. All you new gym people, you need to know that all these other people hated the gym like a year ago because that's all I talk about. So just FYI. But I remember the moment one Sunday, I remember praying, saying, God, there's got to be more to my life than just preaching on Sunday mornings. There's got to be more to my life than just Gateway Family Church. I love this part of my life, absolutely. But I don't want this to be my only experience in your presence. I don't want this to be my only connection to you. There's got to be something else out there. And I began to think, like, where else do I go? Like, what else do I do? And I was like, well, I go to the gym. And I was like, well, God, I want your presence at the gym. Like, I want you to do something in me at the gym. I want something to happen inside of me that's outside of my norm. I need you to do something different. I prayed that like on a Sunday. On a Monday, I walk into the gym and I'm getting ready to work out. And I go into the little locker room to put my bag down. And whenever I did, there was a guy standing there. And the guy was like, hey, man, can I talk to you for a second? And immediately I recognized that still small voice in my heart and said, you prayed for it. Here it is. So I like missed the whole workout talking to this dude about his life's problems and praying with him about what was going on in his life. In the gym locker room, right? And I was like, okay, that was cool, I guess. You know, like I was still kind of figuring it out. So the next day I go back to the gym, and Perry was working out, and she was at one end of the gym, and I thought, I'm going to go in and do some extra work. If you hadn't noticed, I'm not a very big person. I need all the extra work I can get. So I go in, and I'm going to do some extra work, and I sit down. And as I sit down to do some extra work, this guy walks up to me that I don't even really know. And he says, hey, you're a pastor, right? And I said, yeah, I am. He says, can I talk to you for a second? And this little voice inside of me said, this is it. I told you. You prayed for it. Here I am doing something in your life at a gym. So for the next hour, I got no work done at all. I stayed weak and small. But I was able to speak into this guy's life. About his marriage and his family and his life. Why? Because we've got to learn to stop putting God on Sundays and sanctuaries. He wants to be involved in every aspect of your life. Every aspect. There's a story I want to tell you and then we'll end. And you may or may not know this guy or like this guy. Doesn't really matter. There's an old preacher named D.L. Moody. Now, a lot of times when I study old preachers, I like guys like D.L. Moody or A.W. Tozer. I like Charles Spurgeon. Sometimes I'll listen to these old messages, and they're so hard to listen to, but I'll listen to them, and I kind of like them better than some of the new guys. I think these guys had some stuff we didn't always have. As a matter of fact, a lot of these guys were in denominations that we would recognize nowadays, but whenever you listen to their messages, you're like, that's not Methodist or Baptist or whatever, you know, like that's not what I'm used to. But this was back in the day when they didn't care that much about denominations. They cared more about God than they did about their doctrine. And so they just wanted to get to know God. So D.L. Moody was this guy, and D.L. Moody was preaching. And these two old women came up to him one day after one of his messages. And they said, Brother Moody, we are praying for you. He said, why are you praying for me? You need to be praying for souls. I'm saved. I'm good. I got it together. I'm preaching. There's people getting saved. You need to be praying for souls. And they said, no, brother, you don't understand. We're praying for you that you experience God in a real way, that you have an experience with His Spirit. We're praying that you would experience Him and His power. Moody was like, I don't know what you're talking about, but it sounds good. I'll pray the same thing. So Moody begins to pray about it. And as he begins to pray about it, he just begins to pray, but nothing happens. Like, so he prays and says, God, I want whatever it is these ladies are talking about. I want your presence in my life. But he's not seeing it. He's not experiencing anything different from God. And so this is a story about him. This is what he told another pastor. He says he not only prayed with them, but he also prayed alone. Not long after, one day, on his way to England, he was walking up Wall Street in New York. Wall Street in New York. He's not in a church. He's not at a revival. He's not at some spiritual place. You can't get much less spiritual than Wall Street in New York, right? He's walking up Wall Street in New York. Mr. Moody very seldom told this, and I almost hesitate to tell it. And in the midst of the bustle and hurry of that city, his prayer was answered. In other words, God didn't wait for him to get to church. God said, I want to be involved in your life right now. And the power of God fell on him as he walked up the street. And he had to hurry off to the house of a friend and ask that he might have a room by himself. And in that room, he stayed alone for hours. And the Holy Ghost, they called the Spirit of God the Holy Ghost back in those days, came upon him, filling his soul with such joy that at last he had to ask God to withhold his hand lest he die on the spot from very joy. I think that's such a cool story. I think it's cool because it incorporates all the stuff we just talked about. It incorporates the fact of a man that was willing to pursue the presence of God. He said, I'll pray about it. I don't know everything about it, but I'll pray about it. And then he recognized it on Wall Street. Walking up Wall Street, he recognized something is different. Something is happening. And then he received it. He said, I got to go get in a spot. I got to get alone. God's wanting to do something in my life right now. Now for him, it was personal. It had nothing to do with other people. I told you a story about me and other people. But God's presence wants to be involved in your life all the time. There's no set time. All the time. Why don't you stand up with me this morning? Before my dad comes up and dismisses us today, I want us to pray. And for us, maybe your prayer today is just going to be really, really simple. Maybe your prayer today is just going to be, God, I'm willing to pursue, right? I don't know what it means. I don't know what you want to do in my life, but I'm willing to pursue. Maybe that's what you need to do today. Maybe you need to just make yourself available to him today. Maybe it is, God, I want to desire your presence. I'm tired of the same old, same old. I need something different. I need you to do something different in my life. Maybe you listen to the list of things that I talked about that happens when God shows up. Maybe you're saying, I need some joy in my life, or I need some peace in my life, or maybe you need redemption in your life. Maybe you've lived your life for yourself. Maybe it's full of sin. Maybe you know the path you're on isn't the right path. And you're saying, I need to give my heart to Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? His presence is here today for you and for me. Let's close our eyes this morning. Nobody looking around. Let's take a moment just to inspect our own hearts. In the Bible, the King David wrote, search me, O God, and see if there's anything in me that needs to change. And so I'm encouraging you this morning, pray that same prayer, even on your own right now. Just say, search me, O God. What is it that you want from me? What are you looking at in my heart right now? What is it you need to do in me? Maybe you need joy, or you need peace, or you need rest. Maybe today you need redemption. You need someone to set you free today from some junk in your past. Whatever it is that you need today can be found in his presence. Today, if you need to give your heart to him, if you need to say, I need Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, I need him to forgive me of all of my sins, I need him to set me free from all of my mess. If that's you this morning, shoot your hand up and put it right back down. I just need to see who we're praying for today. Yep. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe today you need peace. You need joy. You need freedom. If If you're saying today, I need something from God's presence, nobody's looking around, I just want to know. I think it's good to recognize the fact that, yes, I need something today. If that's you today, don't you just shoot your hand up. You can put it back down, but let me just see it. Yeah, man, all of us do. So here's what I want you to do. In the Bible, there's a couple of things that people did, and they used to raise their hands in the Bible for a reason, not just because the preacher told them to, right? And so they would raise their hands. And one of the ways you would raise your hands is you would raise your hands and you would turn your hands, your palms up towards God, because there's something that you need to receive from Him. And it's also a way of saying, look, I'm open, I'm submissive, there's nothing, I'm holding nothing back. So this morning, if you need God to do a work in your life, if you need God to touch your heart today, if you need to experience His presence today, I just want you to simply lift your hands and just open up your hands to Him. It doesn't have to be high, it doesn't have to be low, just open your hands up to Him and just symbolically show Him, I'm holding nothing back today, I need you. I'm open today, I'm ready to receive what you have for me. And so God, right now I pray for every person in this room, myself included, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to show up in this place. I ask for your presence in our life like never before. God, we need something different, God. We don't just need a sermon, we don't just need a song, God. We need you. I don't just need a church, I need you. God, I don't just need to go out and do my life and do my stuff. I need you to show up every day. I need you to walk in the garden with me today. God, I need something different. I need different than my tradition. I need different than my past. I need different than what I'm used to. I need different from my comfort. I need you. Whatever that means, whatever that looks like, I'm open and I'm willing to receive it. I'm not going to do like Adam and Eve and hide when you show up. I'm not going to stick you in a box of sanctuaries and Sundays. God, I'm open to have you in my life every day. Every day. Whenever you want to show up, God, help me today to recognize your presence. Help me to recognize your presence. Help me to recognize the little whisper, the still small voice in my heart, in my mind. Lord Jesus, we give you everything we've got today, and we just lay it all out on the line for you, and we just ask that you would show up in our lives in a new way, in a different way. Use us for your glory, God. In Jesus' name we pray.